The Cultures Youth Panel are thrilled to announce that this year's Ignite Festival will be taking over the Cultures Historic Theater at 1895 Venables Street from May 15th to May 18th. Ignite is an eclectic festival that celebrates excellence in the emerging arts and is curated entirely by members of the youth panel at the Culch, made up of theater performers, filmmakers, writers, poets, dancers, musicians, visual artists, and more, all between the ages of 13 and 30. Performances this year will include short plays, monologues, poetry, some stand-up comedy, live music, dance, a short film program, and drag performances. Tickets are currently available through the Culch's box office, in person, by phone, or online. Tickets are by donation on a sliding scale. Hope to see you there.
Can you hear that? Can you hear that? It's my voice pouring through your radio device to you. I am Sister C, your own Charlotte Farrell, here at CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. I'm here to recognize you as the most important at the radio we make. That's right, radio is all about you, your choices, your interest in knowing what's going on around the world, your interest in hearing music that you may not hear other places, new music by new musicians, new music by indigenous people of African descent, people of all ethnicities, welcome to produce and share their music. So, thanks to you, we are able to provide diverse programming to best fit your ears. Let us know how we're doing, and we will keep striving to make it the best you hear anywhere. Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. Yes, I do have a treat for you today. Today's Saluau, the show where my guest and I speak up so you can listen up and act upon what you hear. We are having a marvelous May buffet where guests will be dropping by and sharing delectable bites of information and inspiration. This is also Tuesday weekend. We're going to start off with one of our guests having a prayer. Kim, say hello, who you are. What did you bring to the table?
Hi, Charlotte. Thanks for having me here. It's so nice to be here, and I'd love to join you and talk more about this, but just to start us off, I'd like to read a little prayer that resonated with me many years ago when I was 17 years old in high school and grade 12 and kind of having a challenging time in my life. And it's just a kind of a gift that I'd like to share with others in terms of, you know, how we can't change the situation sometimes, but we can always change our perspective. So it's A Prayer for Bad Times by Richard Cardinal Cushing. Dear God, help me be a good sport in this game of life. I don't ask for an easy place in the lineup. Put me anywhere you need me. I only ask that I give you 100% of everything I have. And if all the hard drives seem to come my way, I thank you for the compliment. Help me remember that you never send a player more trouble than she can handle. And help me, Lord, to accept the bad breaks as part of the game. May I always play on the square, no matter what the others do. Help me study the book so I'll know the rules. Finally, God, if the natural turn of events goes against me and I miss or old age, help me accept that as part of the game too. Keep me from whimpering that I was framed or got a raw deal. And when I finish the final inning, I ask for no laurels. All I want is to believe in my heart that I played as well as I could and I didn't let you down.
Well, thank you, Kim. Kim Egger. You belong to a program that sometimes has appeared on our Saluau shows. Tell us a bit about Ecoism.
Well, Charlotte, I was always someone who tries to look at, you know, the things in life, the free gifts in life, the things that really matter the most. When we get right down to it, it's not about all the material possessions we can accumulate over our lifetime. It's really about our experiences that matter. And I would say that as I'm getting older, I not only just is age and life experience teaching me, but I would say eco-wisdom really helped me to gain far more insight into all these wonderful gifts that we have. Part of my message and when I was listening to and reading the Prayer for Bad Times initially was I was having difficulty in life and I was focusing on all the things I couldn't do. It was just before I had an accident where I broke my neck. And then when I had my accident, I really had to put things into full gear to look at, you know, why on earth would this happen to me? And it was probably the most challenging time in my life. But when I looked at my perspective on things, things started to change. And I realized, even though I can't walk again, what can I do? Instead of looking at all the things I could no longer do, which was very, you know, just made the situation a whole lot worse in terms of just adjusting to my new situation, having to live life in a wheelchair among other issues that were a result of the accident. It also helped me to really create a really deep appreciation for all those things that were right before me that I hadn't appreciated so much. And that it sounds a bit cliche, but it's kind of like you don't know what you got until it's gone. Mm-hmm. And when that was gone for me, or at least I thought it was, all of a sudden, you know, I was feeling lonely. I was feeling like I had no future. And then when I think about, you know, the poem and the things that I've learned in eco-wisdom, eco-wisdom has helped me take that to a whole nother level, looking at the things I can. All these precious gifts that are right in front of us. You know, if no one can do everything they want to do, and I might not be able to walk to go to visit the animals in the park and all the children and just smile and wave at everyone, but it doesn't make any difference if I wheel to the park. In fact, I might say that it even enhances my experience because the kids love to gather around and I love that sense of connection with the children. And often I'll take a moment just to reflect and I have a sit spot in the park. And in fact, the wheelchair is even more comfortable because I can just recline in it and bask in the sun, listen to the laughter of the kids playing and the elders chatting it up amongst each other in the playground. I can, such vibrant colors, especially right now in the spring. There's just so much to appreciate. And not only has eco-wisdom taught me more and more about the gifts that can come in terms of just being more mindful, and even the gifts of, you know, boosting your immune system. There's lots of evidence to show the health benefits of just being in nature. And being in nature is something that almost always changes my mood for the better. If I'm feeling upset or maybe anxious or just like I need a break, you know, all I do is go outside, go for a walk, talk to some of my friends out there. And when I say friends, I mean trees, plants, everyone. And, you know, it just naturally lifts my spirit. Yeah, so that there's so many other ways. It's, you know, eco-wisdom has, Kari has taught us a lot about self-care and how important it is to practice self-care. When we practice self-care, we become more resilient. We become healthier. And a lot of times I think I personally need to be reminded of that because I, like a lot of people, and especially women in our society, women, mothers, we tend to put everybody else before ourselves. And, you know, I reached the point of burnout by doing that myself. And now I've learned so many more skills through being involved in the Eco-Wisdom program that relate to self-care, resilience, you know, health benefits. I feel like it's opened a whole new world to me, really.
Speaking of whole new world, we're doing something different in the world today. We're having an imaginary outdoor breakfast buffet. And people are bringing things that we can enjoy that help us to digest some of the situations in life. So we're going to come back to another reading that you're going to give us. But I wanted to say to our listeners, this morning, this is the 10th of May. It is a wonderful day in our neighborhood. It's Mother's Day weekend. So during our broadcast today, one of the things we will be doing is recognizing or giving thanks to mothers. And more than everything, thanks to Mother Earth for putting up with us. As people who sometimes forget, don't give you thanks. And we're going to continue on. So just imagine yourself in the backyard and we have plants. We're hearing about how being in nature, you don't have to go all the way to the forest. There, or even in your backyard, all along Vancouver, you see blossoms of magenta, green, yellow. Take a minute to thank you, Mother Earth, for letting us be here still, even though we've neglected you. Maybe with this marvelous May Day, you'll make a recommitment to, in some way, enhancing the health of the earth. Ah, I see we have at the door, Karen Punky. Welcome to our buffet.
Hi, I have something similar to what Kim has said, but in a different perspective. I've been born disabled most of my life, have had to struggle with a lot of emotional things of people saying, I can't do this, and wanting to be involved in a lot of things. I would say I'm involved with Eco Wisdom as she is. It came along in my life when things were at a crossroads, when things weren't going exactly right, and I was just offered a chance to jump in at the last moment. And even during the course, I ended up having a traumatic fall that fractured my back. And if it wasn't for Eco Wisdom, I probably wouldn't have recovered as soon as I did from my fractured back. And even though I've been having a few medical problems ever since I've been involved, I've been able to handle the circumstances emotionally, and it just helped me get connected with nature, which I've always wanted to be connected and helping with nature. With my ability, it's connected a whole lot of things that I've been involved with. I've been involved with the radio show with Charlotte for quite a while now, with her other pop-up shows. So I guess that's all what I have to say for now.
Sorry to interrupt. I know you're busy enjoying one of your favorite shows on CJSF, but it's your sister C, your own sister C, host of the Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon Saluwa show on Friday mornings every week at 10 o'clock. So I'm here with a very, 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 very full voice. Thank you for listening to CJSF. Okay, I want to say this is a marvelous May. We are talking about nature, welcoming you to share and feel your experiences of the good things that have happened in May, and how May, with its sweeping winds and beautiful sunsets, is just reminding us of places within our lives that we can let a little sunshine in or let a little sunshine out to help others. I'm going to read a poem that is kind of around the transitions and stages in a mother's life. And it's called Mother Strong, Mother Soft. Mother strong and life embracing, little love's legs and feet, giving flight, giving light from dawn to dusk, Mother Strong and Life Proclaiming, Little Rules for Life's Upbringing, quoting chapter verse of scripture, hoping fertile seeds will follow. Mother Strong and Life Rejoicing, Pillows of Love and Laughter Singing, Cuddles, Cuddles, Chauffeured Cars, hoping all will chow not spoil. Mother Turning Life Unbending, Little Twinges, Steps That Falter, Some Days Soaring, Others Dwindling, Wondering If All Is Worth the Kindling. Mother Soft in Life Unraveling, Seed She Sowed, Gathering, Searching, Probing Tendrils Wrapping Round Her, Hoping That Their Paths Will Praise Her. And there's a activity called Bonding With or Sending Metta, Sending Love to Trees. And I found a difference in some of my poetry by writing that next to a tree. Have either of you had an experience writing, sharing something close to a tree? You know, from our sit spot, some people have written poems by a sit spot. Do either of you want to explain, what is a sit spot? Do we have a
I can explain what a sit spot is, but we've also learned that a sit spot doesn't necessarily have to be one location. It's a place where you enjoy just watching things, observing things over time. But it can be also an area where you have a variety of places where you explore and observe. You can do the experience by slowly walking or even sitting, but you continuously go there and find other things to explore. Would you say, Kim, that would be a good explanation?
Yes, absolutely, Punky. I know the benefits of a sit spot through the teachings that Kari and Eco Wisdom, among so many other things. And what I learned about the sit spot, it really is a practice of just finding a place, like you said, Charlotte, maybe it's a special tree, or in my case, it's actually the waterfall and the fish in the pond in my backyard, where we can sit quietly in the outdoors and better connect with the natural world. It helps me to find a state of relaxation and really improves my sense of well-being and connection with nature. I often go there just to take a few minutes out of my day. You don't always need to sit for 15 minutes. It's whatever you have time for. You know, even 30 seconds, 1 minute is better than no minutes a lot of times. And sometimes I'll just take a few moments out of my day to go sit by the pond where it's really quiet, watch the fish. And the sit spot, I feel so connected. There's a huge tree, cedar tree behind us, especially with all the flowers being in bloom right now, the azaleas, the rhododendrons, even the nice smell of the grass, just even watching my strawberries as they're growing. It's so neat this time of year. Even you can go to the same sit spot and find that it changes throughout the year, throughout the different seasons, and it's never the same twice, and there's never the same beings there that there are. We've got a beautiful big, a few other big trees in the backyard. I'll be able to say hi to my other friends. There's squirrels and just birds. We live next to a bird sanctuary. It's just a lovely place to really connect and just connect with nature, connect with yourself, and just feel a sense of relaxation. And for me, it's also just a sense of peace and joy, really.
You know, one of the things I'm happy about is through radio, I was able to hear about Eco Wisdom and this thing about a sit spot. I said, what in the world is it? And then with nature, I thought it meant I would have to find some place, like go to Van Dusen Gardens or go to the Queen Elizabeth or go somewhere, go to North Van and find this place. And to my surprise, just that thing within you where you want to settle down and have peace. If you're in a park, if you're in a backyard, that even where there might still be buses on the street, if you find this place that you take time to sit and then you notice what's there, there might be dogs. I saw a squirrel. I saw a baby squirrel, but it was only because I was thinking about, well, what is there within 10 minutes of my where I live? Walking the 10 minutes is helpful because we know 15 to 20 minutes of walking is good for our circulation, helps us to, you know, we're talking about marvelous May, to have an enjoyment of this marvelous shift in the weather by walking, not just staying in the environment of a car, or staying in the environment of a house or a game, but getting out. And so what I noticed being close to this tree that was in front of a very busy apartment building, just sitting there waiting, I noticed up at the, how many things the tree was sheltering. Up at the top, there was obviously a mother bird because she got up and she's fussing at everybody, like, stay off, back off, get away. And then down on another level, there was a bird working on something. It was just shaking, shaking, shaking. Maybe it was trying to shake something to the people below or just shaking for attention. And then I noticed the gnarls. At one point coming out of the building, I thought, what an ugly tree, because there were these big bumps along the way. Now I recognize those are roots. The roots are finding no places to water, which might be a problem for some of you if those roots come up through your, into your house. But feet, it was like, wow, this tree is supporting all these things because these roots run along. And it just took my mind into seeing the interdependence and feeling about how we're connected. So sitting there, 10 minutes, it gives you a chance to just think about how you're breathing or to just breathe. Sometimes, have you ever found sometimes people make meditation process very complicated? Could you explain, either of you, a simple meditation that you do?
Oh, you know what, Charlotte? It's a funny question that you asked because I was meditating yesterday evening and I try to do that often. You know, I find that it's much easier for me to do when I did it inside the house. Good thoughts kept entering my mind for whatever reason. And just sometimes it's my list of things to do or, you know, whatever might be on my mind. Sometimes it's more challenging than others, but I find that when I connect with nature, sometimes it might even be looking out the window or just being outside, because when I'm outside, the senses that I was describing, you know, sight, you can see all the beautiful colors, the animals, I can feel, I can smell. All of those senses really appeal to me when I'm in nature, especially in the forest. Or for me, it could be especially when I'm near the ocean. I love water and the ocean. The sights, the sounds, the smells, it really helps me with my meditation practice. I'm going to say I'm fairly new at it and I'm working on that practice. It helps bring, because it really helps to bring clarity to my mind. It helps me relax. And when I do it in community, it also helps me feel a sense of connected with other people as well. But yeah, for me, it's just something that is practice, practice, practice. And just something that I'll keep working on. In conjunction with mindfulness, my sit spot, and yeah, just all those kind of things that are free for us, that free to enjoy in nature.
I don't really do a meditation per se. I just sit there and relax and let my body and mind enjoy it. The scenery around, and then I just relax. I can give a simple mindful meditation that is as simple as you can get when you're under stress. It's a simple thing of I am here, but to do it slowly and to use parts of your body. I am here. You can use your eyes to express it by looking up, and then am, look straight forward, and here you look down. So you say, I am here. And I've had to help a friend of mine that was under stress. I just told them just to take those three words and say, I very strongly, I am here, very slowly. And he said, thank you very much to me. I think it helped him realize that to do something as simple as that was to help him ease his stress.
You speak of a thing that sometimes people in Vancouver, the large cities, talk about being lonely, that they don't have anyone to talk to. And I think braving, like coming to this breakfast buffet, we're imagining we're at the backyard and sharing good tips or sharing good information like we would share good food. Sometimes just reaching out to say hello to somebody, the being here, that I am here, makes a whole world of difference. This morning when I came into the building, downtown Vancouver, busy street building that has got lots of different social service activities going on, there's someone, Stefan, who's always at the door, and he greeted me with a big smile. Well, I came in, I was nervous about how's the show going to go, how's this going to go, and just that greeting helped settle me down. And then he had pictures, as some of you No, Megaphone is having its anniversary. They're launching a new book next week. And just looking at those pictures was settling. So I think being available, each of us at some time in life have this point where we feel like, oh my God, tomorrow the world's going to end. Or like you said, being interrupted by sleep with reminding you of who you need to pay or where you need to be or whatnot. But hearing how good it might make somebody feel and how it really might make their day, saying, I'm here for you. Or would you like, Stephen asked, would you like to have some coffee? I had my coffee cup. There was a place upstairs. He could have said, oh, you could go upstairs and get some. But he offered to bring two of us who were sitting downstairs waiting for things. He came and made the most beautiful serving of a cup of coffee. And I think the peacefulness, writing is one of the things that he's used. We've had other people that have talked about writing poetry, writing a song, writing just your experiences from the day are ways that help you to feel better. Kim, you have something else that you've written I'd like for you to share about being grateful. Sometimes it happens that people do nice things for us and we forget to express gratitude to them or to the universe. So I want to say I am so grateful for being here, for surviving the tears, bumps, and strains of life. And I'm grateful to have opportunity for other people to express gratitude and share how that works in their life.
You know, Charlotte, I think about this a lot because there are times in my life, and I think we can say that for just about anybody who's listening right now, where, you know, there are challenges and it challenges our resilience to stay the course. I've experienced that many times in my life. And, you know, during those times, it's where this prayer for bad times is a great reminder of just how grateful I am even to have life. You know, when I think about the odds of even being here on this earth, it really is a miracle that we're all here. We all have life, you know, and all of, when we think about the different abilities that we have, everybody's different. And we can differ throughout the decades in our life, but it doesn't mean that one person's abilities are greater than the others. You know, at some point in my life, I was not able to walk anymore. I wasn't able to use my fingers or arms as much as I could. And then, I mean, it sounds a little cliche, I think, in terms of, you know, gratitude, but it really does come from my heart. It's, for me, it was kind of a situation like you don't know what you got until it's gone. And I remember at one point when I thought, after I had an accident where I broke my neck, I thought, I'm not going to be able to do anything again for myself. I was broke my neck. I was a quadriplegic. And all I knew about that was whatever I saw in the movies. Most people who were in that situation didn't work. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have much quality of life, quite frankly. And that's what I thought would be my future at 18 years old. And then I remember laying in the hospital one day and I thought to myself, you know, should I try and grab this cup of water that was so close to me? I could just about feel it. And, you know, I hadn't been able to even pick up a fork at that point.